You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Grizzlies, a Tuesday edition of the show today. Got a great guest on for you guys today, and a little bit of news on that here in a minute. But the Grizzlies played basketball on Sunday. They're going to play basketball again this evening, tonight. I'll be there as well to talk about that. Tomorrow we'll recap that game as well. If you have not already subscribed to the show, make sure you go subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies and whatever channel you choose, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple iTunes. If you're in Apple iTunes, make sure you go give the show a rate and review. It really helps out us out in the iTunes rankings. But we have a regular guest on, Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. He's going to actually be a regular guest on our show every single week for the entire season. We're going to have him on usually every Tuesday. They might adjust. It would depend on how that, if we have a game on Mondays, we usually record these the night before. So if we have a game, that might adjust during the week. But during the week, you'll hear Amari on at least once during the week throughout the entire year. Amari, I appreciate you doing that. It's going to be fun this year. But what's going on tonight?
Hey, man. The Grizzlies have so much to discuss that, I feel like this should be fun, with John and Jaren and everything else. It's just exciting to see, some basketball finally on the court after such a busy summer. I woke up early yesterday because I was just ready for things to get started, and I'm sure that's probably the case for a lot of people in the media corps.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun just to be back in form, seeing all the kind of the new things. As our buddy David Cobb noted, they have a new drink machine in the media room. He chose to get strawberry Mountain Dew, which, by the way, is gross. Make sure to
I don't know if I've had Mountain Dew since, I used to play Xbox back in high school, but I'm happy that I have the option to have it at the very least.
That's true, but Mountain Dew, it's like a green color. I don't think any drink should be that color, but nonetheless, I digress. It was fun to be back at the Forum and just watch basketball, like you mentioned. It was a long off season, but the guys look good. What were your general, I guess, overall thoughts from the game? Anything that really stood out to you?
Yeah, it's tough, just because they didn't play a great game and sure. It's a pretty non-competitive environment. But I thought Ja looked really good. He looked really comfortable out there. I don't know if he made a bad decision with the ball, and it seemed like he always had a pretty good awareness of where everybody was on the court. He had a lot of, passes to the corner. His floater was going. He looked really, really comfortable out there, which, for a rookie point guard, I think you just want to make sure that he is adjusting to everything properly. Beyond that, it was just, the Grizzlies, they put up points, they played a little bit of a quicker pace than last year. They got threes up. They played really, really small. It was a very different feeling team than last year's team. And, you could definitely see what Taylor Jenkins is trying to do with this group as far as, just them being more of a modern style basketball team.
Yeah, it was definitely different for sure. He played Bruno a lot at the five, which you asked him about this at post game that, and he said that was not something that would, I guess, be nothing I'd like to take away from that. Him playing at the five. I know that's obviously, but with Jonas Valanciunas being out, which will be out for the game on Tuesday as well. That's already been out there. Kyle Anderson is questionable, but I like he won't play either. But that's with Jonas Valanciunas being out, bumping, I guess, Brendan Clark in the starting lineup. But I guess that means that the third big is going to be third and fourth bigs are going to be Brendan Clark and Bruno. I mean, that's what I would assume from that lineup, just in a little bit that we saw.
That's how it would appear at this point. Bruno's been playing as a big. He told me last week that he had been playing at the five, which obviously is a change for him. And, people familiar with Brendan Clark, of course, would know that he was also sort of a hybrid, four/five for Gonzaga last year. So, given that Clark started and Bruno was the first big off the bench, for pretty much the entire game into the fourth quarter, and Jenkins seemed to like Bruno a little bit more than Ivan Rabb and Miles Plumlee. I think we can reasonably assume that that's where things are right now. You know, I don't want to read too much off of one preseason game, but Bruno was better than Ivan Rabb last year. And, you know, it's not too much of a stretch in my mind to, you know, think that this is probably how things are going to be going forward, unless, you know, Rabb has a surprisingly, you know, good game, you know, tomorrow or at some point during this preseason.
Well, it's hard for Ivan to have good games if he doesn't get in the game. You know, like, he didn't even get into the game till was like the middle of the third quarter on Sunday. Like,
yeah,
you know, so like,
and he didn't nearly played like 8 minutes, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, if it's just, it's hard for me to assume that Ivan Rabb's going to be anything other than a waiver, or I mean, a cut at this point. If you're only playing 8 minutes against Maccabi FI on a Sunday afternoon in the first preseason game, you know, like, that's usually the rotations get tighter, you know, in the middle of these preseason games, and the last one is a little bit looser. But that, you would think that this would be the prime time to see what you kind of got in Ivan Rabb, if they have some inkling in practice that what he's going to be is something decent. You want to see him on the court, at least against some level of competition.
Certainly. And the fact that he didn't even get in the game until the second half, you know, to me is a pretty big sign of where he's at right now. You know, this is a guy that, you know, as we mentioned and as we talked about, is, you know, somebody who has seemed to be on the cusp of, you know, not making the team. And they obviously have to cut two people. And Bruno occupying, you know, what should be Rab's position at the five is certainly something that spells bad news to Rab for me, because on paper, I mean, I have a similar build and they do a lot of the same things. It's just that Bruno does a lot of those things better. He's a better shot blocker. He's a better shooter. You know, from a size standpoint, there's a substantial difference now. Bruno showed me that he's about 236, trying to put more weight on, which, you know, apparently he's struggling to do, which shout out to you, man. Cause,
yeah. You know, I wish I had that problem, struggling to put weight on.
Yeah.
That's never been my issue.
Man, being out here in Memphis, man, it's not hard. It's not hard. you know, I've been learning that the hard way. So, kudos to you, Bruno, but yeah. You know, but you don't necessarily need Ivan Rabb and Bruno on the same squad. Like, if Bruno's doing that type of thing better, than, you know, I think that's a pretty easy decision.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. The only thing I'll say about Bruno and Brandon is they think there is some hesitancy about rebounding and what that's going to be. I mean, obviously, I think the rotation is going to leave maybe Jonas or Jaren out there a lot of times, but Brandon Clark looked like an excellent rebounder to me. I don't think he's going to struggle at all. And Bruno, I think if they play him more at the four, I don't know if that's going to be as much as an issue as everybody, I guess, seems to think. If you're going to say, okay, Bruno's the five, which I don't think he's going to be, that just happened to be the case on Saturday. Taylor Jenkins mentioned, I don't know if rebounding is going to be, would be that much of an issue with Brandon and Bruno as your backup bigs.
No, you know, especially since Valanciunas is an above average rebounder, and you know, you have guys throughout the roster who rebound pretty well for their position. You know, like, assuming Kyle Anderson plays, you know, sometime soon, you know, he's 6'9" and he rebounds well for a wing. You know, of course, Brandon Clark, Bruno, both above average rebounders for their size. And I'm not, you know, certain that even if they don't rebound well, you know, it's probably not that big a deal anyway, just because, you know, they're in year one of the league.
Yeah.
You know, we don't probably need to fret too much about, you know, the stuff that they're not doing well, you know, given that, you know, they probably, you know, aren't circling the playoffs as like a realistic goal this season, or I guess we know for a fact that they're not. So if they're like last in the NBA rebounding, it is what it is. You know, if you can figure out next offseason or the offseason after, you know, if you're going to want to invest in improving that aspect of it. But also puts pressure on Jaren Jackson Jr. to get better as a rebounder too, which, you know, he's entering year two, and that was one of his bigger weaknesses last season. So you probably want to put him in a position where he has to, you know, step up and rebound pretty well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the rebounding, you're right. I think you're right. It doesn't matter. Like, they're going to be bad. So it really, it's a thing that we probably normally point to and say, okay, this is an issue, they need to fix that, which I think we did last year at certain times and said, hey, if they're going to want to win games, especially early in the year, they got to fix these type of things that they're not good at. And rebounding was one of the glaring weaknesses But this year, not so much. Let's pause right there. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, the two franchise cornerstones for this team, right after the break. But first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off with your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering code LOCKEDON at checkout. Welcome back to the show, joined by Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. If you haven't already heard, obviously, if you're in the second segment, you've already heard, but Amari's going to be with us every week until the end of time, until the end of the season at least, talking about the Grizzlies. You mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. right before we took a break. I thought he was aggressive last night. I thought that was one thing I took away from Jaren, is that he looked like he knew that he was supposed to score, had a couple spots where he, you know, coming down the court after a block or rebound himself, bringing the ball down, size up a player, and just going right at him. Like, he looked to be more aggressive on the rebounds offensively. I think he understands it this is his team.
Certainly. You know, this is something that he's acknowledged he needs to get better at. You know, something that he knows was a weakness for him last year. And, you know, as a 7 feet tall big, you know, you certainly need to grab more than five rebounds a game as he did last season.
Yeah.
You know, and he can improve in that aspect. You know, actually after the game, you know, Izzo has this famous drill called the war drill. That's a pretty intense rebounding drill. And, you know, Jaren, you know, he kind of sat back in that and was like, oh, yeah, I remember doing that every single day. You know, and he has, you know, like the rebounding fundamentals in him. You know, I'm not sure last season if it was more that, you know, since he was like, you know, like the rookie on the team and, you know, wasn't a focal point, that, you know, he just didn't feel like that urgency to dominate the boards.
Right.
But it's certainly something that I believe he's capable of doing. He said last night that, you know, it's physical, but it's also mental, you know, something that he can just make the mental adjustment and get better at. Something to keep an eye on, but, you know, I certainly think he'll be much better this year than he was last year.
Yeah, it's something that I also just, I think it will be, there'll be more available rebounds to him, I think, that than he had last year, especially with him not being the focal point of the roster like he was. I don't know if that's going to matter a lot, but like you said, it is a mental thing, just going in there, being aggressive, getting on, you know, getting and banging with guys and getting the rebounds. So it's something to note. I think he'll have to be good at it long term. I don't know if it matters this year, but it'll be interesting to see how he develops with that skill over the year. The other thing I noticed, and I'm sure you did too, is that still shooting the ball really well. I mean, walked into a couple threes and that looked good. I mean, his shot's a little weird, but it looked great. It goes in. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you know, he didn't take a lot of threes last night, but you know, I thought his release looked a little bit quicker. You know, he looked just a bit more comfortable.
You know, like confident.
Yeah, like, you know, like he's clearly been empowered to, you know, just shoot them with, you know, confidence, you know, with audacity. You know, it's not like, you know, we tried to get a better look. So, all right, you know, I guess I'm shooting a three now. You know, he could take him early in the clock, and, you know, Jenkins wants him to take him if he's wide open. And, you know, he hit him at a good clip last season. So, you know, I'm certainly curious to see how much his attempts go up by this season, but he looked more comfortable last night for sure.
The other franchise cornerstone, Ja Morant, he looked great. Like, there were only, like, a couple drives I thought he drove into traffic and not really knowing where he was, what he was planning to do when he got there. But he's so good at seeing the court that it didn't matter. Like he bailed himself out just because he would get into the lane and then look up and know exactly what he wanted to do with it. Like after the fact, like it seemed like he didn't know what he was going to do, but he sees the court so well that he was able to bail himself out and just swing passes to people in the corner, outlet passes, turn around, find Brandon Clark in different spots. Like, I don't know, man. I was impressed. I think I don't want to get too excited, but obviously the competition level is much different, but he looked great. I mean, just as, and someone never played an NBA game before. I was impressed.
Certainly, you know, his head was always up. And, you know, as you mentioned, there were some plays where he kind of aimlessly, you know, drove into the lane and, you know, didn't necessarily
have rookie point guards. Like, that's just going to happen. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, it's going to happen, and there were far more plays when, you know, he was clearly trying to get something going. You know, he had the pick and pop with Caboclo. You know, he had a couple plays or two straight plays where he found Brandon Clark trailing, and one was a layup and one was a dunk. You know, he did, you know, pick and pop with Jan. You know, and then he also got into the lane and he got a couple layups, and he had a little floater in the first quarter that, you know, he didn't have like the strongest floater game at Murray State. You know, so that's definitely something that would be good for his development. You know, like Trey Young developing a floater last season was huge for his efficiency at the rim. So that's something that you're going to want to see John Morant do. You know, he just didn't make a mistake with the ball. You know, there weren't any careless passes. You know, he just looked like a natural point guard out there. You know, I think that's all you can really ask for as far as the first preseason game.
Something I thought was interesting last night, I think, I don't know who was asking this question, but I think maybe it was Jeff Calkins. I don't know. But someone's asking him what they thought of John Morant, all the players. And they, almost every single one of them said speed. Like his speed was what impresses him the most. But Jaren actually, I think you may have been over there. I was over there talking to Brandon Clark, but I think you're the one that tweeted this. Jaren actually said that the way he can slow the game down and the way his pace and the way he sees the game, and also his speed is what impresses him the most. And that's coming from a locker room full of NBA players. That's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. There was certainly a very measured approach that he had last night. And, you know, he just didn't appear too hurried in press. You know, he didn't look like he was trying to force anything. You know, and with him, you know, there's a confidence that he plays with that makes it clear that, you know, I think he's just confident that, you know, he'll be able to make, you know, whatever pass he needs to make. You know, he was such a focal point for Murray State last year that, you know, I think he's just become very used to being in that type of position. So, yeah, you know, I thought his pace was great. And, you know, I definitely want to see how that continues, you know, once the Grizzlies start playing some actual NBA teams.
Yeah, he did not look I'd say 80% of the time, he did not look like a rookie point guard. It just looked like he looked like a regular point guard out there. Him and Tyus both really smooth. I mean, between them both, 14 assists, and then the whole team had a bunch of assists. Like, I think they had only 10 or 12 baskets they didn't have assists on. Like, it just extremely good backcourt to have. The court vision between those two and the passing is something really impressive. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back and finish up with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic in our third segment for today's show. Welcome back to the show, talking with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic about the Grizzlies preseason game. They'll obviously take on the New England, or I don't know, what's the team's name? The Breakers, but I don't know what the first New something.
New Zealand.
New Zealand, that's what it is. That was like New Jersey? New Zealand Breakers. RJ Hampton is on that team. So the competition will be a little bit better, I would say. I don't know how much, but a little bit. What do you make of Grayson Allen? Is Grayson Allen a sixth man? I don't know. Like, he was definitely impressive last night, but what is Grayson Allen to you?
I mean, if he can, you know, keep shooting the ball with the confidence that he shot last night, you know, I think he's a guy that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, give a substantial role off the bench. You know, I think he was 4-6 from three. He shot it with confidence. He had a nice drive in the fourth quarter where he, you know, like, you kind of forget, but he was like a really great athlete at Duke, you know, and he had a drive, but he just kind of, you know, zipped to the rim, you know, like probably much faster.
He had a good dunk.
Yeah. He looked confident out there. You know, he's really had a nice sort of personal PR campaign since training camp opened last week. You know, just talking about, you know, his, you know, approach with mental health and, you know, focusing on the game and whatnot. And this team just doesn't have a lot of pure shooters. Like, if Grayson Allen could be like that pure shooter off the bench, if he can hit like 38% of his threes or better, I mean, we're talking about one of the most important guys on the team for sure. You know, just from the standpoint that, you know, Jenkins is going to need guys like him who can just stand in the corner and knock him down.
Well, if you can hit that kind of percentage from three, you'll carve out a serious role in the NBA no matter what team you're with. I mean,
for sure.
That's as simple as that. I don't know what to make of Grayson Allen. You mentioned that he's been on a personal PR campaign. He had lots to talk about in media days. I thought it was interesting that he talked about that kind of stuff. And it takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot just to come out and talk in front of a bunch of reporters and a group about the kind of thing. So it's definitely, it will be interesting to follow for sure. You know, the only difference between him and Marco Guderich is Marco Guderich didn't make any three and he didn't shoot the ball well. Like, I think it just maybe won't be Marco's night some nights, Grayson Allen some nights, and that's what I think you kind of hope for, that at some point one night Marco or Grayson Allen is going to be hitting and shooting, because Marco's got a great looking shot, technically speaking. He's got a good looking shot. I guess for your Taylor Jenkins, you hope that one of those guys is hitting at least, you know, on one out of the other, they can be on.
For sure. You know, and Marco wasn't necessarily a volume three-point shooter overseas, but he did hit him at a very high clip. And, you know, I think there's still a bit of a filling out process, you know, between Marco and the coaching staff, you know, just figuring out how you want to best utilize him. Because, you know, Jenkins just kind of just generically called him, you know, he's just a basketball player. He does everything. And he's right, but, you know, Guderic, I think he's only been in the United States for 2 weeks at this point. So there's still a very, like, there's still a lot that, you know, the Grizzlies will have to do as far as, you know, how exactly they want to utilize him. He certainly looks like he belongs. You know, I just don't think the Grizzlies are completely comfortable with, you know, like what they want him to do out there. You know, so it'll be curious to see what type of player he becomes, you know, what type of role he has in the offense, you know, if his defense is as good as advertised, because that's something that they've talked highly of him about. And he should be a good shooter at the very least. You know, it's just more of a question of volume for me. You know, if he's a guy that's going to come off the bench and, you know, shoot three or four a game.
Yeah, it will be interesting to note how, as he, like you mentioned, gets more comfortable with everybody. What, you know, obviously he's only, I think he said he was only here for 7 days. So what, he's only been here for like a week or excuse me, 2 weeks. Like he hasn't been here that long. So he's got a lot going on. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of that process develops. A couple of guys that did not look like they belong. Whatever Plumlee we have, Miles Plumlee, and Ivan Rabb. And as much as everybody wants you to Watanabe to be good, he's just not. I mean, I know he's a two-way guy. He's not supposed to be. I mean, but you hope those two-way guys can develop into something. But you don't want Watanabe look. I mean, he's did not look great at all. It looked awful. Miles Plumlee looked even more awful. He at one point shot a hook shot over the entire rim to the other side of the court. I just, it's bad, man. Somehow only got to be a -6 in the plus minus last night. So I would assume that Miles and Ivan are those two guys most likely. That's kind of what I said on my show yesterday, is that that would be the most likely candidates for a cut at this point. I mean, obviously we've got a long way to go, but that's what I would peg them as. Even though Miles has a big contract, I think at this point you would likely keep Solomon Hill and Josh, and obviously he's taking up a spot. Andre's taking up a spot. So I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. What about you?
Yeah, that would seem to be, you know, the most logical outcome as far as who you cut, simply because, you know, Taylor seems to be preferring to go small, you know, rather than big. You know, and if you want to play big, then, I mean, you know, Jaren and Jonas is pretty solid as far as that. But yeah, but you have a lot of guys who can kind of like play this kind of big five row that, you know, Jenkins has talked about this week. And, you know, Plumlee, you know, he isn't necessarily, you know, the type of five out guy that you probably want, although he did, you know, knock down some threes at open practice last week. So maybe he's got something in him. I don't know. You know, you probably don't want him shooting hook shots. That's going to be how he looked last night.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. You know, and also he and Solomon Hill, of course, came in with the for the Chandler Parsons trade. And Solomon Hill, you know, I think he's been one of the biggest surprises so far.
Very big surprise, yeah.
Yeah, like not only has he, you know, appeared to like fully buy into, you know, this team and their vision, and you know his role as like sort of the wise bet. I mean, he seems to really enjoy it here. You know, he has family here in Memphis. You know, he said his grandma lives in North Memphis. And he also got, you know, a lot of run last night, you know, as a, you know, like a four, you know, yeah. After the game, we talked about how comfortable he was, you know, like defending guys who are a bit bigger than him. And Jenkins appears to trust him, and he seems to have endeared himself, you know, to the Grizzlies a lot. So, you know, assuming he sticks around, then, you know, I certainly think that kind of pushes Plumlee toward, you know, not being on his team come opening night.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely surprised, I think, for me anyway. You know, I honestly, and I did my previous show for the Grizzlies, I did not have him pegged as kind of getting a lot of run at all in minutes at all. I think I had him more of a candidate to get cut or get traded in. So, you know, it's interesting. He like you mentioned, he was the eighth guy off the bench, maybe eighth, ninth. And him and Grayson came out at the same time. I'm not sure, but he was up pretty quickly. I mean, it wasn't like he took forever. He was in playing when it mattered. And then he's fun to talk to. Like, I mean, he's just, I know that doesn't matter for most people, but for you and I, we have to go and, you know, we actually do go talk to these guys every day, every game. And he's a funny guy to talk to and entertaining. It's entertaining guy.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he is a delight.
It's our job's easier anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's extremely funny. Like, all the guys seem to like him. You know, he brings a really good perspective to the game. You know, I can't say I knew a whole lot about Solomon Hill, you know, before this time last week. But, you know, he's certainly sort of been the breakout player of this past week, you know, as far as expectations versus reality.
Yeah, I knew zero things about Solomon Hill. So I knew he was an NBA player, and that is
pretty much it.
Yeah, that was about it.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here. Is Kyle Anderson going to play basketball this year?
he's
listed with a thigh bruise, but in media days, he said he wasn't ready at all, and then he played in some fashion. I don't know. Do you know what extent he played to in those practices and at camp?
I mean, it doesn't sound like he was, like, full contact.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's just – this whole Kyle Anderson thing has just, you know, sort of been odd from the beginning. You know, of course, he's talked about how he always had – you know, kind of numbness in his arm is something that he's been dealing with for the past few years, and he finally got down to the bottom of it. But, you know, he had the thoracic outlet surgery, although, you know, the Grizzlies said it's not thoracic outlet syndrome that he's dealing with, or more specifically, that it's not, you know, what Markel Fultz has been dealing with. Even though he had the surgery to treat what Markel Fultz has reportedly been dealing with, you know, and then, you know, from the injury report basically saying that, you know, he was a training camp participant, to him telling us directly, like, no, actually, I'm weeks away from being able to do anything.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to start the season. Like, he was adamant.
Yeah, like, he, like, seemed pretty confident that he was not ready to play basketball. You know, and then the Grizzlies the next day actually saying, no, he's practicing and he's good to go. And then yesterday's game, him being out because of a thigh injury, even though last week he told us it was still, you know, recovering from his shoulder. Like, the whole thing is just really weird. And he's been upgraded to questionable now. Like, I have no idea what to expect. Like, if he plays, then, you know, I guess, you know, he's further along than he felt last week. But I would not be surprised if he didn't play simply because last week he told us that he was weeks away. Like, why would Kyle say that? And then that's not the case. Like, he would think that he would have a better idea. So
it's weird. Like,
I really don't know.
It just seems like they're not on the same page. Like, the Grizzlies and Kyle are not talking to each other, or they're just not on the same page. Which seems honestly odd for this front office. They've been pretty buttoned up on most things, and everybody has been, you know, pretty understanding what their goal is and kind of talking points out in the media are. But like you mentioned, Kyle told us, and he said he was weeks away. He didn't say he was even starting, you know, I think someone asked him, maybe Chris Harrington asked him, if the season started like next week, would you play? And he was like, no. And so now he's listed with a thigh bruise. Like you said, like you mentioned, a questionable for the game on Tuesday. I don't think I'd be surprised if he plays at this point. I don't think there's any reason to roll him out there against the New Zealand Breakers. Maybe you wait another preseason game. I don't know. That just seems odd at this point. If Kyle Anderson were to play, anything else that you that stuck out to you before we get out of here?
Yeah, you know, honestly, you know, I just they didn't take a lot of threes, but you know, I am curious to look at sort of the 3-point watch, you know, going forward. And, you know, we don't know if we're going to see Valanciunas, who's out with a sore foot. But, you know, I think I asked Taylor last week, under 26 3-point attempts for Valanciunas this season, because I think that's his career total. And Taylor, of course, you know, didn't want to put, like, an exact number on it. But, you know, I do want to – I'm excited to see Jonas Valanciunas as a 3-point gunner. You know, they've been kind of – teasing this off summer, and you know, I definitely want to see this coming to fruition? You know, like how many threes will Jonas Valanciunas average per game? You know, like is it going to be more than three? Like, is he going to have a Brook Lopez type season? Like, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He was shooting in warmups yesterday. So, I mean, he was making them. So, I know that's much, much different than a game, but hey, at least he's shooting out there, shooting them. Who knows? It remains to be seen what Jonas Valanciunas will do. I'll be interested to see that as well. But I think yesterday's game was they got into the paint so much. I mean, they outscored, they had like 62 or 63 paint points. Like, it was insane. I think I remember tweeting that they didn't have a lot of threes, but they just got the paint so easily that I don't think it mattered. And I think that's hard to judge on that game just because the competition was so, like, by the second, like, middle part of the second quarter, the game was pretty much over, and the other teams really stopped playing a lot. So, and not a whole lot at that point after, especially after halftime, you can really take away. But either way, Grizzlies basketball is back again. They'll be playing again on Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday with another show. We'll talk about Tuesday game. Amara will be back next week. We'll talk about more preseason stuff that we'll have to talk about next week and on throughout the season. Amari, I appreciate you joining me, and we'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.